This is Natalie Lussier, and you are listening to Lunch and Profit Module 5, Writing Letters That Sell. So today we're going to talk about why it's so important to separate writing and editing. So we're going to go over the writing side. So I'm going to show you the structure that you need to follow, or that basically helps to get you started to create your first sales letter. And we're going to take a look at why it's so important to do your writing separate from your editing. So writing should be really the part where you just let it all come out. You pour it onto the page, onto the paper, digital, however you prefer to write, just let it all out. And that's where you just fill in all the details of the structure, and it really gives the readers everything that they need to make a buying decision. Now, editing is where you need to really put your thinking cap on, and that's where you're going to make most of that optimization or that sales side really shine through. But if you follow the structure that I have set out for you, it's going to be way easier to get started and to have your sales letter pretty much written. So we're first going to get to the first draft. So if you're anything like me, and I know there's so many people who feel this way, we all kind of look at our own writing and we think it kind of sucks. And the thing is, it might suck, but only on the first draft. So editing is where everything really happens. That's where the magic comes in to making your sales pages, your sales videos shine. So your assignment really is to write the first draft, not to censor yourself, not to berate yourself or make yourself feel bad or anything like that. All you have to do is get all of your ideas down on the page, and from there we'll take time together to polish it once you've had a little bit of space away from your writing. So one of the best things I can give you in terms of advice for writing is to write like you talk. So this goes really both for written sales pages and for video sales videos as well. So it's really important to write like you talk, because it will come across so much better and so much easier, and people will be able to really connect with what it is that you're saying and what it is that you want to share with them. And also, some of the stuff that we've learned in school, or just some of the grammar that we've learned, it's really useful when you're writing academic papers, but when you're writing to a prospect or, you know, a potential customer or client, it's not necessarily the tone that you want to take with them. You really want to take a tone that's more of like a friendly, conversational tone, like you're having coffee or green juice together, and you're just going to have a great time talking about problems and solving them and just being together on that same page. So the other tip that I really like, and that I use sometimes myself, is to record yourself talking through some of these points. And what you can do is you can either have that dictated audio transcribed by a transcriber. There are people on Fiverr.com who you can hire to transcribe audio. There's also software that helps you transcribe audio. So one of the ones I use is called Scribe. There's also Dragon Dictate is the other one. And so really kind of find what systems work for you. I found that when it comes to writing, blocking my internet is pretty much a guaranteed way for me to write. If I don't block it, then it's a lot more likely for me to, you know, go on Facebook and check my email and do all these other things. So if you want to really write, if you really want to focus on getting your first draft down, create the environment that's going to help you sit down and do it. And the reason I'm spending so much time on this is because I feel like it's really the thing that stops us is ourselves when it comes to launching and writing our sales pages or sales videos. So I just wanted to bring this point home because it's so important. It's going to make a huge difference if you're able to focus when you're writing that first draft. So we're going to take a look at video versus written. So the structure is essentially the same, and it comes down to what you prefer to use and what you feel more comfortable with as a selling medium. So if you were to do a sales video, some people go with purely just a page with a video and a buy now button, and that's all they have. Some people have a combination, so they'll have a video and a written sales page in case people are at work, or you know, they're on their phone, they don't have time to watch the video, but they might still be interested in buying, so they have that information there. And then depending on your market, there's also potentially a reason for why you wouldn't want to have a video. So if it's something that's maybe an embarrassing topic or someone that, you know, something that they wouldn't want anyone overhearing them listening to, then you might want to go just for written as well. What I really like about video is that it's great at creating that human connection, and it's a much deeper level of connection than pure writing. So if you are comfortable or if you want to get outside your comfort zone a little bit and do video, I do think that it's worthwhile. And it doesn't have to be, again, something that you do on your first launch. It could be something that you do on your subsequent launches if you're not quite there yet. But either way, you will need to write a draft, a script or a sales page, and hit the same key elements in that writing. So let's talk about long sales pages. So you might have seen those pages, you might cringe when you think about them, you might want to try to go against the grain and create your own fun way of selling that does not include long sales pages. But let me explain to you why they exist and why they work. So the main reason that long sales pages came to be is for historical or in historical reasons. So it used to be that in direct sales, people would send a letter in the mail to a bunch of people who had shown interest about a product. And so those pages and those letters had to have all of the information that somebody needs in order to make a decision, whether it's to buy or not to buy. And in that case, you know, they didn't have an email address that they could hit reply and ask questions. Maybe they didn't even have a phone number that they had to answer questions. So they got really good at including everything that somebody could potentially be wondering about on that sales letter, in that letter that they were sending in the mail. And they, of course, tested a whole lot of different ways of sending and writing those letters. So that's why long sales pages do tend to work really, really well. And of course, you'll have to test in your market and see what really fits for you and your style. But in my opinion, giving yourself the time to write a long sales page is really like giving yourself an unfair advantage, because not only will you understand your product better, but you'll be able to really communicate it at a much deeper level than if you just had a couple of paragraphs about, you know, the benefits of your product or service. So the other thing that you need to keep in mind is that if you do have a long sales page or even a short sales page, there are two different types of people who are going to be looking at it. There are skimmers and readers. So skimmers actually just skim. So they'll look at the visuals, they'll read the headlines, they might read some bullet points, but they're not going to read every single line. They're not going to go over every single thing that you put. So if there is something that is really important, you want to put it in a headline or just make sure that it stands out in like bold letters or is highlighted visually somehow. And then they're going to have readers. And readers are the people who, you know, they're really keen. They might print out your sales page. They might highlight things. They are going to know exactly what's included, what's not included. They're going to know your product potentially better than you, because they are going to pour through your writing, you know, front and back, and they're going to almost memorize what's on that page. So when you're writing, you have to remember both of these people, because you want to have your headlines be strong enough to pull people through who are just skimming. And you also want to make sure that what you're writing in the long form is useful, but also, you know, not superfluous and not extra long for no reason. So in my opinion, really what it comes down to is that you really need to have your sales page set up so that people keep reading. No one is going to read a boring sales page. It doesn't matter how short or how long it is. But if you can make it punchy, if you can make it exciting, if you can add in emotions and stories and all kinds of cool things, then people will want to keep reading. And all you have to do is have each part of your sales page really go to the next point. So each part of that sales page is designed to keep the visitor reading that next sentence or that next section. So, you know, the headline gets you to read the first line. The first line gets you to read the second line. You know, the first paragraph gets you to read the second paragraph. It really does kind of take you by the hand and keep you going through that sales page or even the video. So in that video, if you're thinking about it, you know, you want to have that you know, a catchy opening, and then that first sentence gets some curiosity going, and you want to keep listening to find out what happens next. So the other thing about long sales pages is that you have space to address objections. So yes, we do live in a world where people could hit reply on an email or call you up or whatever form of communication that you have, but if you can actually address people's objections in their heads that, you know, they're thinking, oh, well, this might not work for me, or I don't have time, if you can address those on that sales page, you're going to get them to actually think, yes, I could actually see myself doing this. I could see myself signing up for this. I can see myself going for it. And if they do have additional questions, they can still get in touch with you. But the more that you can kind of meet them where they're at and tell them, yes, I hear you, you know, the better. All right, so let's talk about the reader's favorite words. So your reader's favorite words are their name and the word you. So really, the more you can talk about them, and if you don't have their name, you know, obviously if you're doing a video, you probably can't say the name of each person who's watching the video. But, you know, if you're writing an email and you have their first name in your database, you can include that in that email. If you are writing a sales letter and you want it to really connect with them, then use the word you. So some examples of that are maybe you're wondering, now you might be thinking. And it's really, if you do hit the nail on, you know, if you do know exactly what they're thinking at that point and you're right and you use that language, people really feel heard and listened to. And it really makes them feel like they can trust you. It feels like they're in good hands. So using the word you is a really great thing to do in your copy. So you can also use it to get their attention, to talk about them and how it relates to them. So if you could solve, so let's say if you solve a really embarrassing problem, or, you know, there's something that someone wouldn't want to admit to themselves, then you can talk about a third person or like a hypothetical person or even your own story. So for example, if you were talking about depression and somebody, you know, might be depressed, but they might not want to admit that they were depressed, you could talk about a hypothetical third person or even your own story of depression. And then it makes them say, oh, well, I'm not depressed, but I can see how this would have worked for them. So let me keep reading. And then you can really just overcome some of that resistance that they have about themselves and about their situation without turning them off completely. Because if you say, hey, I know you're depressed, that might push their button in a not so good way. And they might say, you know, they might just go into denial and say, no, it's not me, I'm not depressed. So it's really important to kind of think through, you know, what it is that you're talking about. If it's a super positive thing, if you, you know, you're kind of like praising the reader for being so smart or for being so motivated or whatever it is that you're talking about, then yes, definitely single them out and say, you are amazing and, you know, all that good stuff. But so just be aware of how you're using the word you. You don't want to use it in an accusation type way. But definitely do bring it back to them so they can see that it's okay if they need help around a specific issue that you can solve. Okay, so this is a great trick that I love and that I think might be helpful for you if you don't feel super confident in your salesmanship or you don't feel like being really salesy. And by the way, who wants to be salesy? But this is a great trick. So basically what it is that you'll write your draft, your first draft, as if you were an infomercial host or an informational creator. So really you go all out with over-the-top promises and benefits. You're just like, what, you know, what would you say if you were like the sleaziest, craziest salesperson ever? And you're probably going to write some stuff that you would never want anybody else to see, and that's totally fine. And you don't have to show this to anyone else. But you're also probably going to hit, you know, some great golden nuggets of what people really want to hear. And it might make you realize that, okay, I do need to address this in my copy. Or it might make you realize, oh, you know, that's something I don't actually include in the product or the service. So could I do that? Could I address that? Could I solve that problem? And of course, you know, once you have your really crazy over-the-top version of your sales page, in your editing phase, you can pull back on that craziness. And then you'll end up somewhere in the middle. So if you have a tendency to not sell at all, then this is a great, great way because it'll force you to just push through your own comfort zone of selling a little bit. And it's also really a playful way to do it so that you can really start to kind of seduce and wink and do all that good stuff that we're talking about in this dance. And it's kind of like if you were to go to a dance and you're going to get all dolled up and you wear the highest heels and you've got like so much hairspray in your hair and so much makeup, you know, you probably wouldn't do that every day. It would just be crazy. But to go out on the night, you know, you might do it one time and just see how it feels. And then you'll kind of realize, okay, well, my comfort zone is really kind of in the middle, maybe a little bit of lipstick and eyeliner, and, you know, some nice clothes or whatnot, but it's not too crazy. And sometimes it takes going to that extreme to find what your edge is. And especially when it comes to selling, and if you haven't done a lot of writing that's supposed to help you sell, this is a great exercise. Okay, so now we're going to dive into the meat, the structure. So this is the structure of letters that sell. And like I said, this definitely applies to videos and sales letters that are written. So the first thing is a benefit-rich headline. So we're going to go over headlines a little bit more in the next video once I go through and help you to figure that out. But really, the headline is the big hook. It's the hook. It's the biggest piece of text on your sales page. It might be the headline that you have above your video or even at the start of the video. What do you say first? And really, the whole point of the headline is really to get people to read that first section. And like I said, that first section is all about reading the second section and really getting people to read the whole page. So the next thing is the before situation. So this is where I want you to paint the picture of somebody's current painful or, you know, problematic situation and circumstances. Talk about, from their perspective, what they might be feeling right now. So this is where, you know, you might have seen this on other sales pages where it's like, you know, are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling blah, blah, blah? Or you might be feeling. So those are the usual things. But definitely you can break the pattern that you might have seen before. So this is the structure. This is what really helps people connect with you and your message. But you don't have to do it the same way as everybody else. So you might say, you know, have you ever experienced X, Y, and Z? And if they're currently in it, they're going to raise their hand and want to keep reading. So next we have the after situation. So this is really all about painting the ideal outcome that someone would love to see. So really make it a visual thing. Don't just kind of describe it in what it could be, but really make it visual, make it sensory. Like, would they see the world differently? Would they smell things? Would they taste things differently? What would it be like to be in that after, you know, after they've gone through your product, after they've gotten the results they're looking for? And then after the before and after, we talk about the solution. So this is where you introduce your product or service as the bridge that gets them from the before to the after. So this is really important because I haven't talked about the product in the headline. I haven't talked about the product in the before or in the after. And one of the mistakes that I see people make a lot on their sales pages is that they just assume that people are reading this and they want to know what your product is. But the truth is that nobody really cares about your product or your service. What they really care about is that outcome. So that's why we start with the before and after, before we even mention the name of the program, the fact that you even have a program or a service. So this is that first time that you introduce it and you tell them what's possible. So you say, yes, you've just read what's possible for you, and this is how you get there. So this is how you explain how your product or program will help them do just that. So now we have middle of the page structure. So once you've talked about your program, you need to show some stats or some other proof that it's possible. So this can be statistics about the condition that you're solving, you know, general things about the industry that you work in, or even some examples of past clients who've experienced great results with you. And it's really just a snippet to show them that, yes, this is possible for you. And this is really about grounding all the information that you've talked about so far into reality for people, because it might feel too pie in the sky for them. It might feel too good to be true. And this is where you say, yes, you know, it is possible, and here are some stats, here are some reasons why you want to keep reading. Next, we have explaining your product or program in more detail. So this is where you go into if you have different modules of your program, if you have different parts or components of your program, you want to go into depth or into more detail talking about the benefits and using bullets. So you don't have to use bullets, but we're going to talk about how to use bullets in the next section. So one of the ways that I tell my clients when they're writing a first draft of their sales page is to put in, say, their curriculum for their product. So if you have, you know, a 5-week course or a book that has 10 chapters, however you like to think about your product or your service, put in that curriculum. And then in the next video training session, we're going to talk about how to turn that curriculum into amazing bullets that get people so excited that they need to hit the buy now button ASAP. So next we have add on any bonuses that can help you increase the value of your offer. So bonuses are awesome because they help you to just, you know, kind of move through any resistance. So if you've talked about all the stuff that we've covered so far, and people love what they're seeing, and then they see that there's a bonus that's worth, you know, just as much as the main content, or, you know, it's just something cool that they would have never guessed, or that they always wanted to know, that's on top of what they've already loved so far, then it just pushes them over the edge that much more, and it just makes it, you know, moves through any resistance they might have had. So then you want to give people the nitty-gritty details of your offering. So this is the feature. So this is, you know, is it phone calls? Is it videos? Is it members login area? Or is it emails? Or do they get something in the mail? Or is it a DVD? All that stuff. So the reason that you leave this till the end is because they have already essentially decided whether they want it or not, and these details don't matter as much. So like I was saying earlier, it's all about the result for people. So they don't really care about your product. They don't really care how it's delivered as much as they care about getting the results that they want out of it. So that's why we leave that till the very end. If you were to start with someone and say, I'm going to solve your problem, but first you need to be available every Tuesday for 5 weeks. Then it immediately shuts them down. They're like, no, I'm busy. I don't have time every Tuesday, every week. But if you were to say, walk them through solving their problem in detail and saying, you know, what's possible for you, this is what you could have, then it doesn't really matter. They'll say, I'll make time on Tuesdays. So this is why we leave this till this section. So now in this final part, we're going to talk about pricing. So as you've noticed, I didn't put the price of the product at the top of the sales page. It was very similar to those details I just talked about because you don't want somebody to be shut down by the price before they even decide whether it's important to them or not. So the other thing here is that obviously this is a great place to put the price because you're about to ask them to invest. But what I also want to point out here is that what you want to create is a price juxtaposition. So there's a couple of different ways of doing price juxtaposition. I'm going to talk about it in another slide here, but I just wanted to point that out. And this is where we, you know, tell somebody the price and then we have our first buy now button. So after this, we display a stack of testimonials and social proof. So we've just said, okay, here's the price. And now somebody might be kind of on the fence still. They might say, oh, you know, this sounds great. But, you know, maybe it's too good to be true. You know, maybe this person doesn't have a proven track record. And then, boom, we do have a proven track record. Here are our testimonials. So this is really important if you don't have testimonials, if you've just created this product, there are a couple of different things that you can do. You can talk about social proof kind of in a more general way. So if you have, you know, years of experience in your field, if you've published other things, or if you have been in the media before, those all count as social proof and they all add to your credibility. But you can also use testimonials from private work. So if you have one-on-one clients, you can totally use that as testimonials, even though this is a different package or a different program that you're just creating for the first time. And you can definitely make that obvious too. You can be totally upfront and transparent and say, some of my clients have said the following about working with me in the past. But you also don't have to like shoot yourself in the foot and say, no one has ever taken this program, and here's what they had to say about working with me in other capacities. So you don't have to make it so obvious that this is a brand new program if you don't want to. But just throwing that out there for you. Okay, so next we have discussing objections and commonly asked questions. So this is a really, really important section that I see a lot of people skip out on, but it really helps to close a lot more sales because, kind of like what I was saying earlier, people have objections that they're already thinking about. And if you can address them before they ever have to email you or ask, then you are really, really helping them make that decision. So the two biggest objections, no matter what you're selling, tend to be time and money. So, is this going to take a lot of time? Because I'm a pretty busy person, everybody feels that way. And is this going to take a lot of money? So, if you've already told them the price, like if you have because you're following the structure, then they might be thinking, is this really worth it? They might be wondering, like, am I going to get a return on my investment? So, this is where you can really address that investment piece. So you can do it in a couple of different ways. You can say, you can compare it to something else. So if your course is the equivalent of a college course, but a college course costs like thousands of dollars and yours is just a couple hundred, then you can contrast the two here. The same goes for if you know that people get a huge return and they're able to make all of their money back in no time, then that's a great way to address that too. And you can also just talk about it from your perspective, like, what kind of results have people had? And in terms of time, you can address how much time is involved in the program or the course that you're creating. You can also address, when they're going to get things, when things get started, the timeline, and all of those things as well. Next, we have the PS. So this is really a reason for them to take action now. So before you go, I really want you to know X, Y, and Z. Or don't let, another week go by with this, exhausting problem. Or don't put this off until next year. So really give them a reason to make a decision. And it could be a decision either way. So, the whole point of your sales video and your sales letter is to get them to take action. And that can be action to decide not to do it. And that's totally fine too. If they realize it's not the right program for them, that is totally okay. But you just don't want them hanging out in limbo. You don't want them to be between and on the fence because that does not make them feel good. That actually makes them feel worse because they're not sure of themselves. It makes them doubt themselves, makes them doubt you and your product and your program. And it's actually just more draining than, either way, than either joining the program or not joining the program. So, make it clear, tell them, hey, don't let this, don't put this off, don't let this expire, whatever it is that you have as a reason there. And then usually I put another buy now button at this section because, just why not have a straight up call to action right after that? And I also like to include at the very end your email address or just a really easy contact form so people can get in touch if they have questions before they buy. And what thing I do recommend is if you're answering questions, add them to that list of objections or FAQ section as they come up. This way, you'll have people who are going to go through and they'll be telling you exactly what they want to know. So you can include it on that page and it'll cut down on your emails. But also, I think emails are great because they help you figure out what people are really thinking about as they go through that decision-making process. So you can really address that better on your sales page. All right, so let's talk about price juxtaposition a little bit more. So anchoring. So this is a great analogy. If I tell you to hold a 20-pound weight for about 5 minutes, then I take it out of your hands and I ask you to hold the 5-pound weight right after, the 5-pound weight is going to feel so much lighter and easier to handle. And the same thing is true when it comes to your program's price. So if you can talk about other or comparable products or services that would cost much more, it helps you soften that price when you do show people the price. And you might have seen, sometimes people use this in a scarcity or just like a kind of less authentic way. So they might say, you know, this product is $500, but for a limited time, it's only $19.99. And when you read that, you're like, oh, come on. Like, I'm pretty sure every day of the week, if I come back, the price will be $19.99. There's no way that you're selling this for $500. So there are definitely ways to abuse this kind of reasoning here. So I'm not saying that you need to do that, and I actually don't believe in that, but it's all about, you know, is there a real valuable thing that you also offer? Or like I was saying with the college example, if somebody were to take a college course and it costs, you know, 10 times more than your program, that's a real price juxtaposition. It's a real thing for you to compare the two. And what you really want to elicit is that when people see your price, they think, wow, that's it. That's such a steal. That's such a bargain. I'm totally in. And you've made their buying decision way easier when you do that. So you can do that in this way. And you can also do with your payment plan, you can say, you know, here's the full price. And your price juxtaposition can also be your payment plans. Or you can just do five payments of, you know, $40 or however you're pricing things. So this is a really important key one, and I've seen people mess this one up many times. So I just say, you know, think about the weight thing, you know, holding the weight in your hand. It really does make a difference if you're doing it authentically and if you can really compare like a real valuable thing and not just fake juxtaposition. All right, so now we're going to stack the proof. So this is where a lot of people also hold back. So if you have a lot of testimonials or if you have a lot of good press, you don't want to just put like your two favorite testimonials. You want to put everything because you want to let people get overwhelmed by your awesomeness. If you want to keep it short, you know, you might be thinking, oh, you know, I don't really want to overwhelm people with all this scrolling and it's too many things for them to read. But if you don't include all the benefits that people will get from your offer through all of your testimonials, then you're really not giving them all the information that they need to make the best decision for themselves. So really, when it comes to long sales pages, the real thing here is that you want to show as much great proof, as much great benefits. And the thing is, with testimonials, everybody has a different angle. So one person might say, oh, it saved me so much time. And somebody else might say, it was so easy to use. And the third person might say, I just loved working with you because you're so fun and exciting, right? And so it'll hit different people's objections through those testimonials, which is why it's so important to include as many as you can. Now we're going back to the length of your sales page here. And in my opinion, the only reason to use a short sales page is when you have a sideways sales sequence. So one example of this is in my autoresponder series, when people join my list, I have 6 to 7 emails that lead to a sales page at the very end for a product. And that works really well for me because in my autoresponder series, each email is delivering value and also kind of addressing some of those things that I would have addressed in a longer sales page. So this is the only reason that you would want to shorten a sales page is when you have a sequence that kind of covers the same pieces just through email or through another kind of sequence. So that brings us to writing emails. So really, when it comes through your launch, you'll be communicating with your email list about many different things. So it'll be your free content, your live event, your shopping cart opening and closing. There's all these different points where you'll be writing emails. And really, in my opinion, writing emails is a slightly different skill than writing a sales page or sales video. So the whole point of email is to get people to click through and read, watch, or sign up. So the first thing is that you want people to open your emails. So you really want to have curiosity in your subject line so that people want to open your email. And if they don't open, they can't click or consume your content. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to deceive people with a subject line. So like free money and ponies inside. You know, people are going to be skeptical and it doesn't really work. But you can hint at something cool. So, you know, if there is a deadline, you can also use a headline to communicate that people who want to sign up, you know, the time is running out. So For example, last chance to sign up with bonus presents or cure cravings closes at midnight Eastern. You can also just talk about what it is that you're going to be covering, and we're going to talk about blind bullets in the next section. But basically, this is just to get you going with your emails and getting people to open them in the first place. So now we're talking about getting clicks. So you don't need to sell in your emails. A lot of times I see people trying to make the sale from their email, and you put so much, you know, energy into the email, but people don't even click to go to your sales page, and they're that much further from actually signing up. So those emails you can really keep really short and to the point, and all you have to do is include a strong call to action. So here are some examples of some strong calls to action. Click here to watch and find out how to iron a shirt in 30 seconds flat. Or, don't miss out, click here to find out how this will save you time and money on your taxes. So those are both great call to action. And you can have just a very quick and short email. And if you have a strong call to action, it'll work really well, because what you want to do is you want to get people to watch your videos, download your PDFs, consume your free content, and then get to your sales page, join you on your live webinars. That is the point of those emails, is to get them to take action. And sometimes a story in an email gets people hooked, and it also can get them, you know, wanting more, and then having them click through to your sales page or to your site for the rest of that email or that story is an awesome way to get them from the email onto your site. All right, so your assignment is to write your first draft, and I want you to download the play sheet and fill in the outline for your sales letter or your sales video. Now, like I was saying, writing can be a bit of a tough thing for some of us, so it can take some time if it's your first time. So I want you to be really, really gentle with yourself and loving with yourself as you go through this exercise, and I want you to give yourself a solid few days of focused time on it. And if you don't have days in a row, that's okay. Just carve out some time and make sure that it really adds up and gives you a chance to dive deep into this first draft. And then in the next video, we're going to go over how to really edit for perfect copywriting and salesmanship in your sales letters and sales videos.